Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Chapter 01, Part 03, Radiative Interactions. Narrative Study Guide. EE 445/645, Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Spring 2026. Professor Rongda B. Minini, Boston University. Introduction to Radiative Interactions. Welcome to Chapter 1, Part 3 of our exploration of physical models in remote sensing. In this section, we will examine one of the most fundamental aspects of remote sensing, how electromagnetic radiation interacts with matter as it travels through different media. Understanding these radiative interactions is absolutely crucial for remote sensing applications. Why? Because these interactions determine how radiation from sources like the sun or thermal emissions is modified before it reaches our sensors. Every measurement we make, every image we capture, every piece of data we collect has been shaped by these fundamental physical processes. Throughout this presentation, we will cover seven key concepts that form the foundation of radiative transfer theory: the absorption coefficient, scattering coefficient, differential scattering coefficient, scattering phase functions, extinction coefficient, single scattering albedo, and emission sources. Each of these concepts plays a vital role in how we interpret remote sensing data and retrieve meaningful information about Earth's surface and atmosphere. The three main mechanisms of radiative interaction. When photons, particles of electromagnetic radiation, travel through a medium such as the atmosphere, water, or vegetation, they encounter atoms and molecules. These encounters can alter the photon's path or cause it to disappear entirely. The interactions fall into three primary categories, each with distinct physical mechanisms and remote sensing implications. 1. Absorption, the complete capture of photon energy. Absorption represents the complete capture of a photon by an atom, where all of the photon's energy is transferred to the atomic structure. Let me explain the mechanism in detail. When absorption occurs, the photon's entire energy quantum is absorbed by an inner shell electron within the atom. This absorbed energy is sufficient to eject the electron from the atom entirely, a phenomenon known as the photoelectric effect. After this interaction, the photon ceases to exist. It has given up all of its energy, and the atom is left in an ionized state, having lost one of its electrons. This type of interaction is dominant for low-energy photons, particularly in the visible light spectrum. Understanding absorption is critical for remote sensing because it determines which wavelengths are absorbed by atmospheric gases, water vapor, and surface materials. This creates characteristic absorption features in spectral signatures, the unique fingerprints that allow us to identify different materials from space. Absorption explains why certain wavelengths can penetrate the atmosphere while others are completely blocked. This knowledge is essential for understanding the atmospheric windows, specific wavelength ranges where the atmosphere is relatively transparent, that we use in satellite remote sensing. Examples you will encounter in remote sensing include water vapor absorption bands in the infrared region, which affect thermal remote sensing. Chlorophyll absorption in red and blue wavelengths, which is why vegetation appears green and forms the basis for vegetation indices. Ozone absorption of ultraviolet radiation, protecting life on Earth while limiting UV remote sensing. Carbon dioxide absorption in thermal infrared bands, important for climate studies. 2. Coherent or elastic scattering, direction change without energy loss. In coherent or elastic scattering, a photon is deflected into a new direction, but critically, it experiences no energy loss. This is fundamentally different from absorption. The mechanism works as follows. The photon interacts with the atom as a unified whole or with the entire electron cloud surrounding the nucleus. No energy transfer occurs during this interaction. The photon maintains its original frequency and wavelength, only its direction of propagation changes. We call this interaction elastic because kinetic energy is conserved, much like an elastic collision between billiard balls. This type of scattering occurs primarily with low-energy photons. The most important example for remote sensing is Rayleigh scattering, which occurs when the photon wavelength is much larger than the size of the scattering particle. Rayleigh scattering has several key characteristics. It occurs when photons interact with atmospheric gases like nitrogen and oxygen molecules. The scattering intensity is inversely proportional to the fourth power of wavelength. Mathematically, intensity is proportional to lambda to the power of negative 4. This strong wavelength dependence explains why the sky appears blue. Shorter blue wavelengths scatter much more intensely than longer red wavelengths. It creates atmospheric haze that degrades the quality of remote sensing images, especially at visible wavelengths. The implications for remote sensing are significant. Rayleigh scattering creates atmospheric path radiance, light that reaches the sensor without ever touching the surface. This must be corrected in image processing. It limits contrast in imagery, especially at shorter blue wavelengths, requiring sophisticated atmospheric correction algorithms. The stronger effect at blue wavelengths is why many early satellite systems avoided blue bands. It affects the apparent brightness of dark targets like water bodies. It creates what's called the adjacency effect, where bright surfaces influence the measured radiance of neighboring pixels through scattered light. 3. Inelastic scattering. Direction and energy both change. Inelastic scattering represents a photon interaction where both the direction changes and energy is partially transferred, resulting in a lower energy, longer wavelength scattered photon. The primary mechanism for inelastic scattering is called Compton scattering. Here's how it works. A photon collides with an outer shell electron in an atom. During this collision, partial energy transfer occurs, which ejects the electron from the atom. However, unlike absorption, the photon doesn't disappear. Instead, it continues traveling, but now with lower frequency, longer wavelength, and reduced energy. We say the photon has been redshifted because it has moved toward the red end of the spectrum. Both momentum and energy are conserved in this interaction, following the fundamental laws of physics. This type of scattering is typical for mid-energy photons, such as those used in diagnostic X-rays. While less common in optical remote sensing compared to elastic scattering, inelastic scattering is important in certain contexts. Its relevance to remote sensing includes high-energy remote sensing applications where Compton scattering becomes significant, contributing to spectral shift phenomena in radiation fields, understanding energy degradation as radiation passes through media. A related phenomenon is Raman scattering, where molecular vibrations cause small energy shifts. Though the signal is weak, Raman scattering is highly informative about chemical composition. It's used in Raman LiDAR systems for atmospheric composition studies and provides detailed information about molecular structure. The absorption coefficient. Now that we understand the mechanisms of absorption, let's formalize this concept with a quantitative measure, the absorption coefficient, denoted by the symbol sigma with a subscript A. The absorption coefficient measures how readily a medium absorbs photons per unit distance traveled. It has units of inverse meters or inverse centimeters, and it represents the probability of absorption per unit path length that a photon travels through the medium. The physical interpretation is straightforward. A high absorption coefficient means the medium is a strong absorber. Photons don't travel far before being absorbed. A low absorption coefficient means the medium is a weak absorber. Photons can penetrate deeply. An absorption coefficient of 0 represents a completely transparent medium with no absorption. Several factors affect the absorption coefficient. Wavelength dependence. The absorption coefficient varies strongly with wavelength. This creates absorption bands where certain wavelengths are strongly absorbed and transmission windows where wavelengths pass through relatively unaffected. This wavelength dependence is the very basis for spectral remote sensing. We can identify materials by their unique absorption patterns across the electromagnetic spectrum. Material composition. Different materials have unique absorption spectra. Water, vegetation, and soil all have distinct absorption coefficient curves that vary with wavelength, allowing us to distinguish them in satellite imagery. Concentration. The absorption coefficient is often proportional to the concentration of the absorbing substance, following Beer's law. This allows us to quantify concentrations from absorption measurements. Physical state. Temperature and pressure affect molecular energy levels, which in turn affect absorption characteristics. Applications in remote sensing include atmospheric correction. Quantifying how much radiation is absorbed by the atmosphere so we can correct for it. Water quality monitoring. Absorption by dissolved organic matter and phytoplankton affects water color. Vegetation studies. Chlorophyll absorption in the red region drives photosynthesis indices like NDVI. Mineral identification. Diagnostic absorption features uniquely identified different minerals. Thermal remote sensing. Atmospheric absorption affects the radiance measured in thermal infrared bands. The scattering coefficient. Just as we formalized absorption with the absorption coefficient, we need a quantitative measure for scattering. The scattering coefficient, denoted sigma S prime, measures the total scattering probability per unit distance, integrating over all possible scattering directions. Like the absorption coefficient, it has units of inverse meters and represents the probability of scattering into any direction per unit path length. Mathematically, the scattering coefficient is the integral of the differential scattering coefficient over all directions. We'll explore this relationship more deeply in a moment. The physical meaning is clear. The scattering coefficient quantifies how much a photon beam is depleted by scattering. Notice that it doesn't specify the direction in which photons are scattered, only the total amount of scattering. A high scattering coefficient indicates a highly scattering medium, like clouds or fog, while a low scattering coefficient indicates a relatively transparent medium. Scattering occurs in different regimes depending on the relationship between particle size and wavelength. Rayleigh scattering occurs when particles are much smaller than the wavelength. This is molecular scattering in the clear atmosphere. As we discussed earlier, the scattering coefficient is proportional to wavelength to the power of -4, giving it strong wavelength dependence. MIA scattering occurs when particle size is approximately equal to the wavelength. This applies to aerosols, cloud droplets, and dust particles. MIA scattering has complex angular dependence and is less wavelength dependent than Rayleigh scattering. Geometric scattering occurs when particles are much larger than the wavelength, for example, large particles like raindrops or hail. This regime is wavelength independent and follows the principles of geometric optics. Remote sensing applications of the scattering coefficient include cloud detection. High scattering creates the bright signatures we see in satellite images. Aerosol monitoring. The scattering coefficient relates directly to aerosol optical depth, a key air quality measure. Visibility estimation. Scattering reduces contrast and limits how far we can see. Vegetation structure analysis. Multiple scattering within plant canopies affects reflectance patterns. Ocean color remote sensing. Scattering by particles in water affects the water leaving radiance that satellites measure. The differential scattering coefficient. The scattering coefficient we just discussed gives us the total amount of scattering, but it doesn't tell us where the photons go. For that, we need a more detailed description, the differential scattering coefficient. The differential scattering coefficient describes the probability of scattering from one specific direction to another specific direction, per unit path length and per unit solid angle. We denote it as sigma s, with the incident direction omega and scattered direction omega prime as arguments. The units are inverse meters per steradian, that extra per steradian accounts for the directional specificity. This makes the differential scattering coefficient more detailed than the total scattering coefficient we discussed earlier. The physical significance is profound. The differential scattering coefficient provides directional information about scattering. This is essential for calculating the radiance in specific viewing geometries, critical for interpreting satellite observations from different angles. It accounts for anisotropic scattering, meaning scattering that depends on direction, which is the norm in natural media rather than the exception. The relationship between the differential and total scattering coefficients is mathematical but intuitive. The total scattering coefficient is simply the integral of the differential scattering coefficient over all possible scattered directions. In other words, if you add up the scattering into all directions, you get the total scattering. Downscattering and upscattering. Before we move on to phase functions, let's discuss two important scattering phenomena, downscattering and upscattering. Downscattering occurs when the scattered photon has lower energy than the incident photon. A classic example is Compton scattering, which we discussed earlier. In downscattering, a high-energy photon scatters off a free or loosely bound electron, transferring energy to the electron and emerging with a lower frequency. Fluorescence is another example. A photon is absorbed and then re-emitted at a lower energy. This process is an indicator of photosynthetic activity in vegetation. In downscattering, the photon gives energy to matter, driving processes within that matter. Upscattering, also called inverse Compton scattering, is the opposite. The scattered photon has higher energy than the incident photon. Here, a low-energy photon scatters off a high-energy electron and gains energy from the electron's kinetic energy. While less common in typical remote sensing applications, upscattering is critical in astrophysics, for example, when cosmic microwave background photons are upscattered by hot electrons. In upscattering, matter gives energy to the photon, heating the radiation field. Scattering phase functions. The scattering phase function is a normalized description of the angular distribution of scattered radiation. It tells us the probability that a photon will scatter into a particular direction, given that scattering has occurred. Mathematically, the phase function P relates to the differential scattering coefficient through this equation. The differential scattering coefficient equals the total scattering coefficient divided by 4 pi, multiplied by the phase function. The phase function is normalized so that its integral over all directions equals 1. This ensures that the total probability sums to unity. The phase function is dimensionless and typically depends only on the scattering angle theta, which is the angle between the incident and scattered directions. This angular dependence captures the essential physics of how particles scatter light. Different scattering regimes produce characteristic phase functions. Isotropic scattering is the simplest case, where P equals 1 for all angles. This means scattering is equally likely in all directions. No directional preference exists. While mathematically simple, truly isotropic scattering is rare in nature. It's often used as a first approximation in models. Rayleigh scattering by small particles has a phase function that shows symmetry between forward and backward scattering, with maximum scattering in the forward and backward directions and minimum scattering perpendicular to the incident direction. MIA scattering by particles comparable to the wavelength exhibits strong forward scattering. There's a pronounced peak in the forward direction, with decreasing scattering as you move toward backward angles. This forward scattering tendency becomes more pronounced as particle size increases relative to wavelength. Geometric scattering by large particles shows even more extreme forward scattering, with most light continuing in nearly the original direction. The Henne-Greenstein phase function. A particularly useful parameterization is the Henne-Greenstein phase function. This mathematical function provides a simple way to represent the angular distribution of scattering using just a single parameter called g, the asymmetry parameter. The asymmetry parameter g ranges from negative 1 to positive 1 and describes the average cosine of the scattering angle. When g equals 0, we have isotropic scattering, no directional preference. When g is positive, we have forward scattering. Photons tend to continue in roughly their original direction. When g is negative, we have backward scattering. Photons tend to scatter back toward the source. For most atmospheric aerosols and cloud particles, g is typically between 0.6 and 0.85, indicating predominantly forward scattering. For vegetation canopies, g values range from about 0.4 to 0.7, depending on leaf structure and orientation. These values capture the essential scattering behavior with remarkable simplicity. The Henne-Greenstein function is widely used in radiative transfer models because it provides a good approximation to real scattering patterns while being computationally efficient. The extinction coefficient. Now we come to a crucial concept that brings together absorption and scattering, the extinction coefficient, denoted by sigma without any subscript. The extinction coefficient combines both mechanisms of photon loss from a beam. It's defined as the sum of the absorption coefficient and the scattering coefficient, sigma equals sigma A plus sigma S prime. This represents the total probability per unit distance that a photon will be removed from its original path, either by being absorbed or scattered into a different direction. Associated with the extinction coefficient is an important quantity called the mean free path, which equals 1 divided by sigma. This is the average distance a photon will travel in the medium before suffering a collision, either absorption or scattering. There's an inverse relationship. A high extinction coefficient means a short mean free path, indicating an opaque medium. A low extinction coefficient means a long mean free path, indicating a transparent medium. The extinction coefficient measures the total attenuation of radiation as it passes through a medium. It's critical for radiative transfer calculations and determines the optical depth, which is the integral of the extinction coefficient along the path. Tau equals the integral of sigma with respect to distance. Directional dependence of extinction. An important subtlety is that the extinction coefficient can depend on the direction of photon propagation. We write this as sigma of omega. Why does direction matter? Anisotropic media have non-uniform structure. The medium looks different in different directions. Oriented particles, such as aligned ice crystals in cirrus clouds or leaves in vegetation canopies, interact differently with photons traveling in different directions. Vegetation canopies have vertical structure that creates directional variation in extinction. Consider a vegetation example. Photons traveling horizontally through a canopy must traverse many leaf layers, encountering a high extinction coefficient. Photons traveling vertically can find gaps between leaves, experiencing a lower extinction coefficient. This creates angular dependence in how much radiation penetrates the canopy and explains the bidirectional reflectance patterns we observe in satellite data. Applications include Atmospheric optical depth, the column integrated extinction through the atmosphere. Beer's law transmission, intensity equals initial intensity times the exponential of negative sigma times distance for a uniform medium. Visibility estimation, the extinction coefficient determines visual range. Canopy architecture studies, directional extinction reveals structural information. Water clarity assessment, the extinction coefficient indicates water quality. Single scattering albedo. The single scattering albedo is one of the most important parameters in radiative transfer. It represents the probability that a photon, upon collision with matter, will scatter rather than be absorbed. Mathematically, the single scattering albedo omega equals the scattering coefficient divided by the extinction coefficient, or equivalently, the scattering coefficient divided by the sum of absorption and scattering coefficients. It's dimensionless and ranges from 0 to 1. The physical interpretation has three important cases. When omega equals 0, we have pure absorption, a black medium. All collisions result in absorption, with no scattering occurring. Examples include perfect blackbodies and highly absorbing materials. The scattering coefficient is 0. Only the absorption coefficient contributes to extinction. When omega equals 1, we have conservative scattering, a white medium. All collisions result in scattering, with no absorption occurring. Examples include clean ice and pure molecular scattering in the atmosphere. The absorption coefficient is 0. Only the scattering coefficient contributes to extinction. When omega is between 0 and 1, we have a mixed medium, which is the most common case. Both absorption and scattering occur with their respective probabilities. Most realistic materials fall into this category. For example, vegetation has omega values ranging from about 0.4 to 0.9 depending on wavelength. Typical values encountered in remote sensing. Snow and ice in the visible spectrum have omega values of 0.98 to 1.0, they're highly scattering. Clouds in visible wavelengths have omega greater than 0.99, nearly conservative scattering. Vegetation in the near-infrared has omega of 0.85 to 0.95, high scattering, which is why vegetation appears bright in NIR. Vegetation in the red has omega of 0.4 to 0.6, moderate scattering and absorption due to chlorophyll. Soil in visible wavelengths has omega of 0.5 to 0.7, a mixed medium. Water in the blue has omega of 0.4 to 0.6, moderate scattering. Aerosols generally have high scattering with omega of 0.8 to 0.95. Smoke varies with composition, ranging from 0.7 to 0.9. Notice how the single scattering albedo varies significantly with wavelength. For vegetation, chlorophyll absorption creates low omega in the red region but high omega in the near-infrared. This creates the distinctive spectral signatures we use for vegetation classification. The impact on the radiation field is profound. High omega produces bright surfaces through multiple scattering and creates diffuse radiation fields. Low omega produces dark surfaces as radiation is absorbed and converted to heat. In radiative transfer theory, omega determines surface brightness and the probability that photons can escape back to space. The single scattering albedo also plays a critical role in climate and energy balance. Aerosols with high omega have a cooling effect by reflecting sunlight back to space. Aerosols with low omega have a warming effect by absorbing sunlight and heating the atmosphere. The snow albedo feedback, where omega changes affect climate, is a crucial climate feedback mechanism. Surface energy partitioning, how much energy is absorbed versus reflected, depends fundamentally on omega. Emission sources. While we've focused primarily on photon attenuation, how photons are removed from the beam through absorption and scattering, we also need to consider photon generation. Emission represents the creation of photons within the medium itself. Thermal emission. All matter with temperature above absolute zero emits electromagnetic radiation. This thermal emission is governed by fundamental physical laws. Planck's law describes the spectral distribution of blackbody radiation as a function of temperature. Wien's law tells us that the peak wavelength of emission equals 2898 divided by temperature, where wavelength is in micrometers and temperature in Kelvin. This is why hot objects glow at visible wavelengths while room temperature objects emit primarily in the thermal infrared. The Stefan-Boltzmann law states that total emission is proportional to the fourth power of temperature. Doubling temperature increases emission by a factor of 16. Applications of thermal emission in remote sensing include thermal infrared remote sensing in the 8 to 14 micrometer atmospheric window, sea surface temperature measurements from satellites, land surface temperature mapping for urban heat island studies and drought monitoring, fire detection and monitoring through thermal anomalies, nighttime observations when solar radiation is absent. The emission coefficient is related to absorption through Kirchhoff's law, which states that emissivity equals absorptivity. This means good absorbers are also good emitters. For real materials, non-blackbodies, the emissivity is less than 1. Fluorescence. Fluorescence is a two-step process, absorption followed by re-emission at a longer wavelength. In chlorophyll fluorescence, for example, blue and red light is absorbed, exciting electrons to higher energy states. These electrons then relax to lower states, emitting red and near-infrared photons. The quantum yield, the ratio of photons emitted to photons absorbed, indicates the efficiency of the fluorescence process. Importantly, fluorescence provides an indicator of photosynthetic efficiency, because it competes with photosynthesis for the absorbed light energy. Applications include solar-induced chlorophyll fluorescence, SIF, measurements, which provide direct information about photosynthetic activity. Vegetation stress detection, as stressed plants show altered fluorescence patterns. Photosynthetic activity monitoring across ecosystems. Ocean color remote sensing, where phytoplankton fluorescence contributes to the signal. Other forms of luminescence. Beyond thermal emission and fluorescence, other light-producing processes exist. Chemiluminescence occurs when chemical reactions produce light. Bioluminescence is the biological production of light by marine organisms and some terrestrial species. Phosphorescence is delayed re-emission after excitation, where the emission continues even after the excitation source is removed. While these phenomena have specialized remote sensing applications, such as nighttime imagery and marine biology studies, they're less commonly encountered than thermal emission and fluorescence in typical Earth observation scenarios. Summary of key relationships. Let's consolidate what we've learned by reviewing the fundamental equations that govern radiative interactions. The key mathematical relationships are extinction, sigma equals sigma A plus sigma S prime. Single scattering albedo, omega equals sigma S prime divided by sigma. Scattering integration, sigma S prime equals the integral of sigma S over all directions. Phase function, sigma S equals sigma S prime divided by 4 pi times the phase function. Mean free path, lambda equals 1 divided by sigma. Optical depth, tau equals the integral of sigma along the path. The physical insights we should retain are: absorption removes photons permanently, converting electromagnetic energy to other forms. Scattering redirects photons, either without energy loss in elastic scattering or with energy change in inelastic scattering. The phase function describes the angular pattern of scattering, capturing how particles scatter light in different directions. The single scattering albedo partitions extinction between scattering and absorption. It's the probability of scattering versus absorption. The extinction coefficient combines both loss mechanisms into a single measure of attenuation. Emission adds photons to the radiation field through thermal, fluorescent, and other luminescent processes. Remote sensing implications. These radiative interaction parameters determine what sensors measure. They are not abstract theoretical concepts but practical quantities that directly affect every remote sensing observation. The wavelength dependence of absorption and scattering creates the spectral signatures we use to identify materials. Different materials have different combinations of absorption and scattering coefficients at different wavelengths, giving each material a unique spectral fingerprint. The angular dependence, captured by phase functions and directional extinction, creates bidirectional effects. The same surface looks different when viewed from different angles, not because the surface changed, but because the scattering geometry changed. Understanding these bidirectional reflectance effects is crucial for accurate interpretation of multi-angle observations. Understanding these processes enables quantitative retrieval of surface and atmospheric properties. We're not just making pretty pictures, we're inverting physical models to extract information about chlorophyll content, aerosol concentration, water vapor amount, and countless other geophysical variables. Accurate modeling requires knowledge of all these coefficients. To predict what a sensor will measure given certain surface and atmospheric conditions, or inversely, to retrieve surface and atmospheric properties from sensor measurements, we need accurate values for absorption coefficients, scattering coefficients, phase functions, and single scattering albedo. Conclusion. Understanding radiative interactions is fundamental to the science of remote sensing. The seven concepts we've explored, absorption coefficient, scattering coefficient, differential scattering coefficient, phase functions, extinction coefficient, single scattering albedo, and emission sources, form the theoretical foundation for everything we do in this field. These concepts enable us to interpret satellite and airborne observations with physical understanding. Develop atmospheric correction algorithms that remove unwanted atmospheric effects. Retrieve surface and atmospheric properties quantitatively from radiance measurements. Understand bidirectional reflectance effects and how viewing geometry affects observations. Model radiative transfer in complex media like vegetation canopies and cloudy atmospheres. Advance quantitative remote sensing applications across disciplines. The physical models we've described bridge the gap between raw sensor measurements and the geophysical quantities we seek to understand. They enable the transformation of remote sensing from qualitative imagery, looking at pretty pictures, to quantitative Earth observation, measuring actual properties of our planet. As you study the presentation slides, keep these fundamental principles in mind. Every equation, every diagram, every concept builds upon these basic ideas of how light interacts with matter. Master these foundations, and you'll have the tools to tackle the most challenging problems in remote sensing. Good luck with your studies!